Fairy Sightings podcast, where we listen to people's fairy encounters. But take heed, we're not talking about winged Tinkerbells here. These are real fairies, real encounters that took people like you and I by surprise. Stay a while and hear their stories. My name is Jo Hickey Hall, and I'm a folklore researcher. This podcast is, of course, free, but if you feel you'd like to support my research, you can do so for as little as £1 per month. There are alternative tiers with different benefits. Go to www.patreon.com/The Modern Fairy Sightings Podcast. Thank you. Welcome to episode 8 of the Modern Fairy Sightings Podcast. In this episode, we speak to a woman who had three very different experiences with fairies. All encounters took place in her bedroom, but were miles apart in terms of the emotional experience they brought her. In one encounter, our guest summoned the courage to stand up to a nasty, goblin-looking character. As with many traditional folk tales, the knowledge that we may call upon our strength of will in times of fear is an important tool and can be applied in many situations within our lives. It's equally essential, of course, to acknowledge and find a safe passage for those deep fears to pour out of ourselves. In this case, our guest revealed her vulnerability to nature itself, and in return she received answers. I hope you enjoy the episode, and as always, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Let me know how you're enjoying the show on Twitter, @_remain_curious. You can also access show notes and contact me at scarletofthefae.com. There's some frightening content, so as always, a reminder that these podcasts are not suitable for children or anyone who might be sensitive to creepy content. I'll be back at the end for some chat.
I was about 21, and I was living in a house, rented house with my twin sister, or flat, I should say. And it was a really beautiful flat, but there was always something I didn't feel quite right about it. You know, physically, visibly, it looked lovely, perfect, but it was just an uneasy feeling quite a lot of the time. At the same time, I'd started working in a holistic crystal shop, which was just down the road from where I lived. And I think I was opening up in that time, in working in the shop. I mean, that's a whole other story. There's energies that were at play in the shop as well. So, yeah, we had... So this event happened. It was just a normal day. I'd been at work. I came home, cooked dinner, you know, the normal stuff. Went to bed feeling, you know, just quite a bit tired, but wasn't stressed or anything like that. I haven't been drinking any wine or anything, you know, nothing. Just got into bed. And after about 5 or so minutes, I started to feel really uneasy. And I just thought, there's someone in this room with me, in my bedroom with me. And I just sort of peered over the duvet and just looked. I had these, there's quite a big window in my room. And it had these awful red curtains because it was rented. I went with the curtains. I don't think the moon was out, but it was... There was something around those curtains that drew my attention. And as I looked a bit more clearly, on the top of the curtain rail, which was even stranger, was this really awful, demonic little figure, like a goblin figure. And I was really frightened to begin with and really shocked. I thought, you know, I'm imagining this, like you do. I rubbed my eyes. No, it's still there. I just remember this aura around it of kind of really dark, black, brown, green, red, really nasty energy.
Yeah.
And it was like, had this really horrible kind of toothy grin, really evil eyes. And and it was kind of like kind of laughing at me, or, you know, but it was trying to make me feel frightened. And I did for a while, my heart was pounding. And then I just thought, I mean, I don't know how long this went on for, but I just remember then having this sudden realization. I thought, I've just got to face it. So I just literally sat up in bed and stared at this thing and mentally said to me, "You don't frighten me, get out of my room." You know, I told it to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, it did. It just disappeared.
Oh, and then, is, yeah.
So then I just went kind of, you know, back under the duvet, and I was thinking, what on earth is that? You know,
yeah.
Didn't think any more of it. But then other things subsequently happened in the flat.
Right.
So another thing that happened, I don't know how long after this goblin experience, but again, going to bed one night and feeling fine, just a bit tired, under the duvet, and again I get this sense of something in my room, and feeling that I'm being watched, but not by one thing, by lots of things.
Oh,
so I looked across the other side of the room, and I had this small table with my stereo on top, and in the half light I could see about six little figures, all different heights, from about sort of a foot to 2 foot tall, and some of them were dressed, some of them were half dressed, some had no shoes on, some had hats on. There was one I remember with just like little kind of raggedy trousers, bare chest and bare feet. And I laughed to myself because I thought, oh, I'm going mad. What is going on? And as I looked at them and said to myself, I'm imagining this. And I said to them in my head, telepathically, I said, you're not real. I'm imagining this. And with that, they started running towards the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so they came running to the bed and they were jumping on top of me. And it was like, suddenly I felt like little tiny feet and hands tickling me. And I just thought, I didn't know what to think. I just thought, this is not happening. This can't be real. But with the tickling, I just started laughing. And I laughed myself to sleep. And it was the best night's sleep I'd had in ages.
Amazing. Were they all doing that, or was it just one or two?
I think they all came running over to the bed. So,
yeah.
But it was weird. As they came running over, I'm thinking, oh, they're quite big. But actually, once they were on top of me, they felt really, really small.
Yeah.
They felt really tiny. But I definitely remember kind of being kind of tickled and poked with hands. And that was so real. I mean, it was just, and I hadn't, again, you know, I wasn't tired, I wasn't stressed, I hadn't drunk anything.
Yeah.
It really did just happen. And I don't know, I think I may have told somebody, I think one of the customers that came into the shop where I was working at the time, who was very open to this, he said to me, he said, oh, they do sometimes come into the house, because he'd had experiences.
Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started.
But, you know, you kind of, normally you think of fairy out in the woods, out in the forest, by the rivers, you know, in nature, not in your bedroom, and, you know, in your, an urban house. It was really quite odd.
Yeah. What do you know about the house?
Well, the other thing with, I think what happened, because I was also then, I mean, I really was opening up to other dimensions and spirit, and I started to get a lot of, I'd always been open, I think, as a child, but it really, something really shifted on in this particular year. And I was hearing, I was basically developing mediumistic tendencies, And that's something else that I do get from time to time. Then I was also sensing a lot in this flat, this uneasy overriding presence of this man. Mm. And every time I was in the bathroom, I'd feel like this person was behind me with a knife.
Oh, God.
And it was really frightening. And I used to, you know, there were certain points in this flat, and it's quite an old house, it's Victorian, but right. Certain parts, I don't want to be in that room, or I don't want to be here too long. Or and then one night, again, this happened, always happens at night. again, I was lying in bed, and the bottom of my bed was being shaken. I couldn't see anything.
Right.
Then it got lifted up. It felt, I don't know, probably about a foot off the ground. It was really, and I did start to freak out.
That is scary. Yeah.
Really panicking. My heart was pounding. I was sweating, and I just didn't know what to do. I froze. And as this was happening, I then got this image of a woman, quite a young woman, in my mind. And she was going, "Help me, help me, he's here, like this." Mm. I was thinking, what's going on? And at that point, I saw this figure of a man stood by my bed. And I think I just called on all my guides, all my, you know, my grandma who's in spirit and who's protecting me. You know. I called on everybody. Anyway, this energy then disappeared. But the weird thing is, as it went, I had this poster on my wall of Enya, and this thing just kind of fell off the wall, but it'd been stuck on the wall for ages. It was, so whatever that energy was, it's quite powerful.
Yeah.
But it was that flat, and I do wonder if, and I think something must have happened in that flat or that house, because I also then remember talking to somebody who said there had been a lady that had been murdered, I think by her husband, back in the 50s or 60s. It was in that road.
Oh my goodness.
It possibly could have been in that house. Yeah. So and I have tried to find out, but I've never been able to find kind of the details. But that would make sense to me. I think there was some rip in the energy field and the aura of the place. And I think maybe it's some kind of portal. And I don't know. Again, it's that thing of, will we ever know? I don't know.
So that is, you know, fairly old house, and potentially some really dark stuff had gone on there.
And yet the house, you know, physically and visibly, it was beautiful. You know, it was a lovely flat. But you often find that, don't you, underneath there's kind of a layer of energy or memory or, you know, things that happened in that place.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it.
That did happen a couple of times. Yeah, it's horrible. That's a horrible feeling, that is.
That is horrible. I mean, it's quite sort of poltergeist activity, that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. And you just don't know what's going to happen next. I think that's the problem.
No. That's the thing, though, isn't it? You know, you've got ghosts, and then you've got you know, the fairy realm or whatever they might be, and I just wonder what attracts, I guess maybe it was yourself that attracted the goblins and the fairy, but the fairies, so the fairies were a much more positive energy then, that felt like a nice experience right from the start. So even when you saw them, you didn't feel afraid when they were...
No, that's true, actually. I didn't. I kind of... And that happened after the goblins, so... But I think because I looked at... And they were quite cute, these little fairies. And they were... You know, when sometimes you see children and they're sort of standing in a queue and they're sort of shifting from one foot to the other and a bit fidgety?
Yeah.
They were like that. Right. And I think this is why I felt... They felt quite childlike, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't feel frightened. And the fact that, you know, they came running over, and I just started laughing and giggling. I kind of braced myself because I knew they were going to come on top of me. And then they did. But like I say, when they jumped on top of me, they felt very small. They felt very, but I could definitely feel tickling and poking. And I'd said in my mind, I don't believe you're there. Mm. It was like they were saying, we're going to make you believe we're here. You know, we'll show you that we are here. So I got that physical kind of proof, really.
Yeah, That sounds quite cheeky as well.
Very cheeky, yeah. But I just laughed myself to sleep, and it was the best way to fall asleep, you know.
Where were they tickling you? Was it sort of, did they head straight for your head or your arms?
Just trying to think. I would have been on my right hand side, so they were sort of on my side, on my shoulder, on my neck, kind of around my back, you know. It was a very childlike energy. That was a nice experience.
Could you tell me more about what they looked like?
Yeah, they ranged in height. They were about six of them. They ranged in height from sort of like a foot to 2 foot tall. They weren't huge. And some of them were fully dressed. They had like little kind of tunic, you know, jackets. And it's how you sometimes see them, you know, Brian Froud.
Yeah.
Draws them with little tricorn hats and things.
Yeah.
Like the leprechauns. It was like that. That kind of had that kind of jaunty hat. But then there was a couple that they were just bare-chested and had no shoes. And they had like these little raggedy trousers. So they were all, it was a mixture that they were, you know, some were fully clothed, some weren't. But they did, they had this kind of, they had a cheekiness to them. And they did seem young, for fairy, and playful. And I think, again, that's why I didn't feel frightened. They weren't kind of glaring at me like the goblin. They were curious. They were looking at me curiously. I think then when I started talking to them, you know, telepathically and saying, look, I don't believe you're there, and, you know, I'm imagining you. And that's when they went, right, I'll show you, you know, and they just ran over and started tickling. But yeah, it was definitely clearly, I could see them, their outlines and, you know, their coat, their clothes. Even though it was nighttime, there was, you know, it's like a half light in the room.
Yeah. What sort of colour clothing were they wearing, and did you get a look at their sort of facial features? Or?
So the clothing was kind of greeny greys, kind of mossy colours. And their faces were very cute, very rounded, kind of rounded nose, big rosy cheeks. I think there was one, the tallest one, who was fully dressed, was an older one. So yeah, he could have been maybe training them up. I don't know.
And it was a male one.
It was a male one. They were all male, actually. They were all male. Yes, yeah. They were all male.
That is interesting, because all of the, so the goblin was a male energy, and the fairies were a male as well. And then, you know, the figure that appeared as well, and the presence that you felt were all male.
That's true. Yeah, I've not thought of that.
Had your sister picked up on any of the energies in the house?
Yeah, I never really talked to her much about stuff at the time, because I didn't want to frighten her. She didn't feel 100% comfortable in the flat either.
No.
But like I said, I didn't want to say too much to her at the time, because I didn't want to frighten her.
And with the goblin, how big do you think he was? How tall?
Oh, he was quite tall. He was kind of crouched on this curtain pole, but he would have been probably, just trying to measure it now with my hand, at least kind of three and a half feet, sort of small.
Right. And what did he look like? Can you describe anything about the way he looked and his skin and anything?
His eyes were almost kind of orangey red, and big sharp teeth. His skin was a kind of a greyish, kind of opaque grey colour. But I do remember he had a hat. He had a hat on, which I thought was interesting. And he was clothed. He had clothes. He had like a jacket.
What did his hat look like?
It was like a little kind of, the only way I can describe it, you know, like the little pork pie hats. So it wasn't like a top hat or a tr- tricorn, anything like that. It's kind of quite a short, round hat with a brim. Mm. And actually, now I'm thinking about it, it was almost like he was trying to disguise himself. Because the clothes didn't match him, if that makes sense. It's, yeah.
And what about his hands and feet?
I don't remember paying much attention to those. I know he did have shoes on.
Yeah.
So he wasn't kind of half dressed like the fairy. He was kind of fully dressed.
Yeah.
But he was like really crouched up tight in a ball on this. But I thought it was strange that he was on the curtain ball. I don't know why.
Mm.
There was always something about those curtains. I said there were these red curtains.
Yeah.
I never liked, and I should have changed them, but, you know, I just moved into this place. And whether he was, I don't know, there was something about, but it could be his energy that I was picking up on. I don't know.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah, he did have clothes. But yeah, he didn't seem to, I don't know, it felt like he was in some sort of disguise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What emotion did you feel when he turned up?
Well, I was really frightened to begin with. And I didn't know what was happening and who he was. So yeah, it was fear. But then something in me said, I'm not going to let this thing frighten me. This is my room, you know. Mm. And I just sat up in bed and stared at him and just said to him, get out, you know, this is my room. Yeah, you're not welcome here, get out, you know. He kind of laughed and disappeared. So,
What was his emotion towards you when he first turned up? Do you feel like he wanted you to see him?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And did he look directly at you?
He did, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Real kind of jeering kind of laugh, you know? Like a jeering kind of laugh.
Mm.
Which is quite different to the fairy, who were kind of playful and just like curious. And I didn't feel, you know, I was under any threat from them at all.
Yeah. So after he went, did you get a sense of him being around anymore after that, or any sort of weird sense in your room, like a dark energy? I mean, apart from the figure.
I didn't sense him. And, no, I didn't sense him again, but I think I was for a few nights, I was quite frightened going to bed. Mm. You know, crikey, you know, is he going to appear again? Then I had the fairies appear.
How so much long afterwards did they appear?
That would have been, oh, crikey, I think about a month, 2 months after. Mm. I can't remember exactly, and this is quite a long time ago, but it was quite a period of time, probably about a month, I think.
So how old were you at the time? Were you sort of in your 20s or?
Yeah, I was 21, yeah.
Oh.
21.
Yeah, so it's really still quite young. And,
yeah.
And how long had you been in that flat?
That was what was interesting, not very long. I mean, we'd literally moved in, I can't remember, in the spring. And, I think he appeared after about a month. And
blimey.
It was really quick.
And they made themselves. Yeah.
And then we stayed there for about a year, and then we moved out because I was frightened of all this stuff that was going on, and I didn't, at that time, I didn't really understand it. But I say as the years have gone on and I've had other experiences, I kind of understand it a bit more now. But also I'm more aware of my guides and my spirit, you know, people in spirit that are kind of protecting me. And even where I am now again, it's a flat, but it's an old Victorian house. I seem to, yeah. I am attracted to old places. I love old houses. That's the other thing. I do. I love old houses.
Me too.
But then you're always going to have all the layers, aren't you? All
yeah.
Stuff that's happened, all the history. So, you know, there are other cultures that are really much more reverent towards you know, energies and spirit and ancestors, and they would, you know, recognize and respect the people that were there before. Or I think that's a nice thing. I think,
you know, yeah, I do.
You know, we own this place now, but this will be, you know, in time, it will be somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
We're just caretakers of it for now, you know.
Yeah.
And those people that beforehand were caretakers of this house. And so I don't mind so much that kind of, you know, the nice side of ghosts and spirits. I think that's
yeah.
nice. But it is, yeah, it's the other stuff. I think, like you say, it's that side of things which I think people do struggle with, don't they, when you talk about fairy and
yeah.
dimensions, in terms of, you know, kind of the entities and things. But it's just fascinating, the whole lot, really.
It is. I do find it really fascinating. I'm just thinking back to so you've moved in and with your twin sister, and I'm wondering whether even that kind of that energy, you being twins, Ooh. Drew something in. You've moved into a house that's got these layers of history and goings on within it, mm-hmm. and then you're 21 and you're with your sister and you're starting out. I mean, that is an exciting, you know, what for you, what was happening in your life at that time in terms of, you know, was it a transitional time for you at the time and then afterwards, after these things happened?
I mean, it was definitely a transitional time. I think it was the first time I'd lost my job. That's it. I'd lost a really lovely job and I was in limbo for a couple of weeks and was quite upset, and I'd never been out of work. You know, I was really kind of stressed and worried about it. And then I'd gone for a walk and found that this new crystal shop had literally just opened. And I just went in there and one day said, oh, you know, do you have any work? And this is back in the day when you could just walk into a place and say, you've got any work? And he said, yeah. You know,
yeah.
He said, yeah, we can take you on. I think with the goblin, I remember starting to feel a bit more, okay, I've got to be a bit more on my guard with things and with people. But with the fairies, it did make me kind of start to research the fairy a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A customer that came in, the chap that I mentioned earlier, who'd also had experiences of fairies, he said, oh, you want to get in touch with this chap? I don't know if you've heard of him, called Patrick Jasper Lee. And he just released a book called We Bore the Air. And it just blew me away. And I just thought, you know, and Jasper was talking about, you know, how he'd seen fairies and a fairy in his garden and by the apple tree, I think it was. And I just thought it was magical and it really opened me up. And I really relate, you know, resonates with me, this. That book is just really powerful, I think. The story about the crabapple fairy as well.
Oh, yeah, please tell me about that.
Yeah, so that was some years later. So that was probably, I reckon, about 2003. And I was going through a lot of stuff at that time. Everything in my life was shifting and I just felt very lost and alone, you know. So I'd spend a lot of my time in nature. There were days when I couldn't physically move off the couch. I was just so burnt out. But I'd sit and I'd lay on the sofa and I'd be under the blanket and I used to watch. We had trees outside our lounge window. It was another flat, ground floor flat. But I'd watch the squirrels. There was a spider. And I remember for weeks just watching this spider. It was like my friend. It became my friend. Leaving this beautiful web on the and I talked to it, you know. I talked to the squirrels. There was a squirrel who used to come and run along, you know, by the window. And so I found a lot of, you know, solace in nature and animals, and always have done. But I'd started then, when I started to feel better, going out for more walks. And I went into the forest. I always go to the forest. And then when I need kind of, you know, some healing. Remember going out to the parked up, went walking through the heathers, and I could feel all this, you know, when you could feel motion bubbling up, can't you, and all this upset, and I'm thinking, trying to keep a lid on it, there's people around, don't want to cry, you know. But I could feel it getting bigger and bigger. I thought, I've just got to go find somewhere away from everybody. I can just sit and just let it all out. So found this lovely little spot. There's a little stream. It's a beautiful ash tree. And I sat with my back against it. And I just burst into tears and I poured everything out. And I was telling this ash tree my whole life story. And asking for guidance, asking for help. And I was there a good few hours, you know, and I was just letting all the tears, I didn't stop myself crying, I just let it all come out.
That's really good, yeah.
I felt completely kind of drained at the end of it, but I kind of gathered myself, I felt better, and I got up and thanked the ash tree, thinking, oh, it's listened to all my stories. And then as I turned to leave, literally just in front of me at my feet, was this tiny little crabapple branch with three crabapples on it. And I remember thinking, well, that's weird. I hadn't noticed a crabapple tree. You know, I hadn't seen anything. There was nothing immediate.
Yeah.
But then I looked, I don't know how many metres, 10, maybe 20 metres, maybe about 10 metres ahead of me with this little wizen apple, crabapple tree. And I just knew it was from there. And I thought, well, there's quite a way for it to come. Like somebody had broken off a branch and put it there. So I picked it up and I just had this sense or heard a voice saying, take it, it's a gift. So I felt really happy about that. Put it in my bag, went home, put it on my dressing table in my bedroom. Had a very normal evening, had dinner, felt much better having had a good cry. Went to bed, and about three o'clock in the morning, I woke up. There was this little tiny, tiny green, fluorescent green flickering light on my dressing table. And I was trying to work out what it was. And again, my rational mind was saying, oh, it's my mobile phone. Because back then, the old mobile phones used to have a little green light.
Yeah.
And I thought, but I always turn my phone off at night. I never keep it on. So I'm watching this light. And my partner at the time was asleep beside me, didn't notice anything. But I saw this, I watched this little green light, and it's got bigger, just started to grow bigger and bigger to about the size of a 5p piece. And I noticed it was where I'd put the crab apples on my dresser. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I just walked, and then this light lifted off the dresser and it just floated really slowly down towards the bed. And I remember thinking, okay, this is something interesting here. And this little tiny green light stopped right at the level of my head. And I looked at it, it's like floating in midair, this little light.
Wow.
And it just kind of manifested into this little tiny woman. And she was really lovely. She had a really old wizen face, grey hair. And she was dressed what reminded me of the Welsh national costume.
Oh, yes.
The black hat, the tall black hat, and white cotton blouse, full skirt, and this little shawl. Anyway, she just stood there and looked at me. She had a really lovely, gentle face, a really lovely, gentle energy. And she just telepathically, she gave me the answers to some of the questions I've been asking for help with in the forest. And then she just kind of disappeared. And it was then I thought I was talking to the ash tree, but yeah. Actually, it was actually the crabapple tree that was listening. And it's interesting because it was a female fairy this time. Yeah, and this crabapple fairy just said, well, basically, she said a few things, but she basically said, the unhappiness will end with you. It was just what I needed to hear. It was just
really
lovely. And
That's a beautiful encounter.
It was so special, and it was just, and I don't think I did tell anybody at the time. I didn't even tell the chap I was with at the time. I just remember thinking, I wanted to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is beautiful. When it floated over and the green light, or did it lower to the bed when she was standing, or did it kind of float standing kind of thing?
So the light came floating, it floated down, so it came and it literally stopped. So I kind of was on my side, and at the level of where my head would have been on the mattress, it stopped just there. And as it stopped, she then manifested into this little old lady.
Yeah.
That, so it was like beautiful. That was her spirit. And I think it's interesting going back to the fairies that I saw, you know, the six fairies, how I said they looked, you know, quite big. But actually once they came over to me, it was like they were tiny. Like they would have been tiny little, I guess if I'd had my eyes open, balls of light, but I didn't have my eyes closed. But and I wonder if that's then how fairy will travel. You know, they travel in, or can sometimes manifest as these little...
As little orbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people see them too. As manifestations.
They hold that... you know, they hold their kind of matter, as it were, in these little tiny lights. You know, it's incredible. You know, I remember going to the first time I went to the Channiswell Gardens in Glastonbury, and that was I think late 90s. I'd gone on my own, and it was I think it was in November. It was like a really kind of grey day. It was in the afternoon, but I remember walking through it, and before I really knew anything about Channiswell Gardens at all, I just remember thinking, oh, these are beautiful gardens. And I just kept seeing little flickering blue lights in the bushes, you know, just here and there. And remember feeling this kind of awe and, oh, wow, that's really, you know, interesting and exciting. I wonder what they are. And then as I walked out from the garden, into they've got like a little shop, haven't they, before you leave.
Yeah.
And the first book I saw when I walked in was a book on... How to Communicate with Fairies by William Bloom. And I thought, oh, that's them telling me, you know, we're here.
Yeah.
There's the book, have a read. You know, you're not imagining it, you know, this actually does happen.
I must read that book. I have heard of him. I remember he was releasing lots of books at that time, wasn't he? Things just were better for you after that.
They have been better.
Yeah.
In terms of the fairy, definitely they've been better. But yeah, there's still the kind of the ghosty stuff. Time to
a lot of ground covered in this episode. We heard of a more unusual visitation by a scary goblin, and these are unusual compared to the amount of really joyful experiences that are reported, but they do happen from time to time. My feeling is that he was related in some way to a previous occupant of the house, or an act that took place there. Our guest had felt a dark energy within her flat, so perhaps the goblin was a manifestation of that, or attracted by it. Either way, his attempts to frighten her failed, as he disappeared soon after she challenged him. As I said at the beginning, it's a powerful tale of finding the will to stand up to our fears and look them right in the eye to diminish them. It's not easy, so this approach is very commendable. Unfortunately, these sorts of encounters have also been experienced by children, who've been left terrified. I have spoken with adults who've lived through this as children, so do please listen to your children's nighttime fears and work with them to face these fears. One method might be encouraging them to make a drawing of what they see as their protector. Let them decide. It might be an object like a star or a being such as a dragon or an angel. Whatever it is, they will know, so let them lead on this, even if it doesn't make sense to you. They can hold the picture and put all of their feeling into it, intending their protection with their will, deciding it is true, and then let them pin it up in their room. You may have your own deities that you draw upon for protection. I often use Archangel Michael, the classic protector. The second experience was at the other end of the spectrum. Our guest described how they had the most wonderful sleep after being tickled by fairies. It's interesting that they were a group of fairies with what looked like a ringleader or an older fairy that stood out because they were fully dressed compared with the others. There are lots of other modern encounters of groups of fairies which feature in Marjorie T. Johnson's Seeing Fairies, edited by Simon Young. It's a fantastic collection of accounts which I'd highly recommend. I've included some of these in the show notes along with further information on the book. I hadn't heard of tickling fairies before, so if you have, please get in touch. I did find a Scottish folk tale called The Brazen Brogues, which features meeting with little people, a giant, and five maidens who appear and begin tickling the hero of the story. Our guest has stressed, though, that rather than an arousing experience, it was in fact joyful and childlike. I wonder if these two sets of beings, the goblin and later the group of fairies, came from the same place. Did the fairies know that the goblin had appeared? Were they making amends? Or simply enjoying playing with human emotions? We'll never know, but as always, it helps to hear each other's accounts because often they can help to make sense of our own. The last encounter is truly lovely and a very healing experience. There's something about flower and tree fairies that seems to be particularly soothing. It's great that our guest found a safe place in nature where she could let go of all the emotion she'd been holding, and it's so wonderful that she received such a beautiful response. In difficult times, we always feel much better after spending time in nature, and while it may not always be as dramatic as this experience, there's still certainly a felt exchange between us and the nature that surrounds us. As I've said previously, it's useful to find a place nearby where you can build on this relationship exchange in nature. It's very interesting that the crabapple fairy appeared inside a tiny orb, as orbs do feature strongly with fairies and the accounts of the supernatural. They seem to be energetic manifestations of all beings, including humans, fairies, possibly spirits too. Some people can easily see orbs with the naked eye. You can practice having a go at seeing these by letting your eyes rest on the outline of a person as they stand in front of a white background, either a white wall or a sheet hung up. Let your eyes relax and go out of focus. I've found it often works well while you're watching lectures and have noticed that the orbs around a presenter start to appear when they're talking about something they care very deeply about, or something that is about their fundamental truth. Have a go, it's quite good fun. I'm glad that our guest found peace with her experiences and continues to find fascination with such things. There are so many mysteries, but it feels right to be exploring them together at this time. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with one other person whom you think might enjoy it too. Stay safe, much love, and always remain curious.